Liz. How would the group like to begin today? One thing is we need to see if we're going to meet more than just this once, which I presume, whether this is a convenient time and date for ongoing meetings.
Well, I don't know that that's possible if the drafting report is due January 15th. Is that correct?
Well, I think that certainly is what the council asked, but I don't think in light of the time to organize that that may be feasible. So I suspect, I mean, tell me what you think, but I suspect that if we cannot make that commitment, that we should just let the council know when we think we could make the commitment and proceed accordingly. If you think we can, that's super, but I don't think we should feel that it's essential given organizing if we just can't. So tell me, you know, of course, see what the group thinks, and I don't know if you also want to select a chair for this group as well, but that's my thoughts anyway.
This is Christina. I have pretty limited time in the next week, so I could at best contribute 2 to 3 hours of drafting, if that. So I'm inclined to say that we should just be realistic now and let the council know that the 15th isn't going to happen.
Yes, I think that's not a big deal. We can do that any time before our January 29th meeting. We probably aren't going to have a motion ready for that meeting, I'm guessing. But it's possible, I suppose. If we were going to have it ready for the 29th meeting, we'd need to have it done by the 22nd.
And when is the February meeting, Mike?
It would be 3 weeks after the 29th, so around the 19th or so.
Yeah, and I need to check on that because then we've got Mexico right after, so I'm not sure if that actually is a...
I think there is a meeting.
Okay.
I can check the GNSO calendar real quick. But
that's what I'm doing. It's taking me a while to get there.
February 19th. Yeah, I have it on my calendar.
Okay.
So, ideally, we will have a motion ready for that meeting, certainly, so that we can continue talking on this and have any, you know, discussions or council time on it in Mexico City.
So would the group like me to just send a communique to the council that following this call that we've met and that we are targeting having a motion for the council to consider on its meeting on the 19th of February?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, I'll take that as a to-do. Now, would the group like to select a leader?
Is that a requirement or an option with a drafting group?
I think it's an option.
I don't think we necessarily need one. I'm fine with you moderating.
Sure.
Liz.
Okay.
Yeah, it worked out well not having one for the domain tasting one.
That's true. It's a nice small group, too. Okay. Well, why don't we proceed that way unless anyone else... Does anyone have any other thoughts about that?
No, I think that's a good plan.
Okie dokie. So what would be a helpful way to get started here?
I'm sorry, Liz. Just one other point, Ben. If we are not shooting for the 15th, I'm sorry, this is James. If we're not shooting for the 15th, then we can, then I'm flexible on the schedule, so we could, you know, throw open the doors for a different time slot to meet. The only reason I was pushing for Friday and Monday of next week was because I thought we were shooting for the 15th.
Well, does this time work for everybody on the call or just have a weekly call for the next few weeks?
Yeah, it works for me.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool. For me, too.
Okie dokie. My word of the day, I guess.
Did this time work for Olga generally, or she just had a conflict for this meeting?
Oh, yeah.
We know?
That's a good question. I'll reach out to her and find out.
All right.
Presumably there'll be an appointment from the NCUC, at least, I imagine. Maybe from the ISDs.
Yeah, and I'm actually surprised not to have an ALAC. rep because I think they're interested in this. So I did send a little note to Alan, but I didn't hear back from him.
Okay.
So I'll follow up on that, too. I know Glenn was urging the ISPs and NCUC to offer a participant, so I'll definitely follow up on that as well. Okay. Should we move to the substance now, or are there any other preliminaries to discuss?
Ready, set, go.
Ready, set, go. Okay. Well, let me mention one thing that may or may not be relevant and of interest to the group, which is that in the last few days, I have had a couple of conversations with Steve Crocker and Dave Piscitello, and the ESSEC is working on a short, very short paper having to do with registration abuse contact information for registrars and resellers, essentially raising a concern that it's difficult to often to find and reach contact information for registrars and resellers when there is a concern about registration abuse to report a situation or request an investigation of some sort, and that they emphasize the value of having such a contact so that, you know, because turnaround is often a real key issue with regard to, say, phishing attacks and those kinds of things. Again, I have a draft, very a preliminary draft, but I did want to mention that they're discussing this, not only the benefit of having a registration abuse contact, but also some procedures potentially to ensure that that operates in a consistent way, that contact information should be readily accessible, that the information should be published, that registrars should perhaps provide ICANN with their abuse contact information. There's a series of things here. Working with the community to determine appropriate measures to safeguard against false complaints. It's really focused on submitting complaints and what happens afterwards when complaints have been filed. So I wanted to bring that to your attention because they're not quite ready to publish it, but it seems arguably related to this topic, and I thought you'd want to perhaps consider their... And obviously you need to see the document, which I think is in draft form, but Steve Crocker did ask me to mention it to you and also offer that they'd be delighted to work cooperatively with the GNSO on the issues and concerns that they have related to just contacting registrars and resellers about potential abuse and then what happens after that. So I'll just
throw that out. This is Greg. Yeah, I've talked with Dave a little bit about it. And what you said actually just brings up an interesting question that we'll need to consider as we figure out this charter. You use the term registration abuse in the context of phishing. And actually, I don't know if phishing is a registration abuse or a domain use issue.
I think that's a good point.
I bring this up because the council resolution actually asked us to look at that distinction and consider it. And that's also because the recent issues report that came out said it had some language from ICANN Council about that difference. So we have to, part of our job will be to define terms and make some distinctions. I personally found that the issues report was not always as precise as it could be or probably should be about that. For example, it talked about registration abuse and then talked about, for instance, the .info abuse policy, which is specifically about domain use only, not about registration. So I want to raise that issue now so we can keep it in mind.
Good point, Greg. Liz, would Steve or the SAC be willing to share a draft of this report with this group? Or?
Yeah, I think so, and I'll follow up with that. This was sort of in real time just late yesterday, so I'll check with them about when there will be something that can be shared, because you guys obviously need to see this right away in order to factor it into your thinking. So that's another action item for me.
You might want to stop telling us things. You're adding
no,
up more
action. It's my nature.
Well,
it's more important for me that you know about it before you draft a charter and it gets approved, and then after the fact someone says, wow, we really should have had the benefit of this afterwards, beforehand. So that's what I'm trying to avoid.
It seems to me like it is definitely related to what we're doing, but it's really one more input into the working group. That's right.
It's just one aspect. But I think Greg raises a good point that in addition to sort of definitionally, what is the scope of what is intended by this group.
I wanted to ask Mike, could when you raised this at council, could you tell us what you had in mind when you brought up the issue? And,
sure.
And how you're thinking about it.
Sure. Well, as you know, as part of the anti-phishing world and going after bad guys, it's, some registrars simply don't respond, don't seem to have any policies, don't seem to have any contacts in place to approach them about registration abuse or any sort of abuse for that matter. There's inconsistent contract provisions between the registries and the registrars on this score, which has caused some confusion and consternation. And then, of course, all the registrar agreements with registrants are also different. And so, essentially, what I believe and others believe is that there ought to be at least some minimum standards that must be in all of these agreements that, to my mind right now, means that registrars and registries at least have the ability to act, because it's set out in their contracts that gives them that power from ICANN to act in response to any sort of abuse. Because right now, some of them say, oh, we don't have that power. You go file UDRP actions, and that's completely insufficient. So what I'm looking for at the end of the day, as I sit here now, as I've been thinking about this for a while, is minimum provisions in these agreements with respect to abusive behavior. Also, essentially a process by which registries and registrars would have to respond to complaints in some way.
Mike, a clarification. When you said with respect to abusive behavior, and you're talking about registration abuse specifically, right? Not all potential abuse on a website? I mean, using a domain name, rather?
Well, the bottom line is the process should be in place to where registrars have the ability to enforce their own terms of service. So what we're seeing a lot of, actually, is that registrars have terms of service and don't take any steps to enforce them. So it's kind of like they pretend that they are willing to deal with problems and that they are, so-called legitimate organization. Yet then when you go and try to approach them with problems, they're just not there. They do nothing.
So you're looking for a way to force parties you're looking for a way to make parties enforce their contracts?
I'm looking for a way that they are at least empowered to take action and that they are required to consider and respond to complaints.
In my experience, most of, if not all, the registrars seem to have stuff in their contracts, their registrar registrant contracts about illegal use of the domains. I mean, they vary greatly, as the issues report mentioned. But it looks like most or all of them have something in there. So you're looking at, I mean, your main concern is registrars who choose not to do it, and then you want some mechanism for measuring their responsiveness or something like that?
Yeah, it's similar to the who is inaccuracy issues. You know, registrars are basically required to take some action within a certain amount of time in response to complaints for who is inaccuracy. Well, that's just one small part of the abuse problem. I think they should be required to take action on complaints of registration abuse, at least. And the bottom line is, once they develop that sort of a process, then it would behoove them to use it for other sorts of abuse complaints as well.
Okay. When you talk about registration abuse, what kinds of things does that involve?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm trying to define the
sure. And
problem
you haven't
we're
been
trying to address.
You haven't been part of the council discussion on this point. I feel like it's, I don't understand the distinction. ICANN Council made that distinction. I've asked them to explain it. They haven't done that. I frankly don't know what the difference is.
Yeah, I go back to what ICANN Council said in the issues report, which was, well, and I guess we've had a couple of examples actually at ICANN in the past. We had the AGP limits process, and that I guess that was determined to be a registration abuse where people were abusing the ad grace period and registering and deleting large numbers of domains. And so I guess that ended up having a determination that that was a registration abuse, and then we ended up with the consensus policy at the end of the process.
Sure. Go back to the UDRP, though, right? That's also registration abuse. Yet, clearly, to prove a UDRP case, you generally have to prove how the name is being used in bad faith.
Well, it's not used in bad faith. I think the registration is in bad faith, and I'm no expert in that area.
It's actually required that you prove both. Although you can prove use in bad faith through a showing of non-use under particular circumstances.
So that's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, if you register a name and then you try to sell it to somebody, that's often an example of bad faith.
Correct.
You're trying to hold the domain name hostage, or, you know, basically. I mean, that's not a use of the domain, but it's an example of bad faith. So it sounds like we don't have a good grasp of some distinctions that maybe need to be made. I mean, if we're talking about registration uses and abuses, that takes in a huge world of issues. Everything from cyber squatting to spam to phishing and all kinds of things. It seems like a big scope.
So, of course, in the RAA, you know, what it says is disputes concerning the registration of registered names as opposed to the use of such names, including where policies take into account use of domain names. So absent that last phrase, I think it's more stark, the registration concerning the registration of registered names as opposed to the use of such names. but the subsequent phrase, including where policies take into account use of the domain names, is where I think some interpretation comes into play. So the intention, I think, is, you know, registering a name that's, say, trademark infringing is registration abuse. It's abuse in the registration of the name itself, as opposed to what someone might do with the domain name after it's registered.
This is where I have a problem,
yes.
And I think Mike and I don't want to put words in your mouth, Mike, but I think you and I have the same problem, and that is, if, for example, and let's kind of stay away from trademark, because I think that, you know, I don't want to get into the whole, like, words have meanings, blah, blah, blah discussion. But I have a real hard time with saying that where a name is registered by someone who, if the facts were known, everyone would agree is a bad actor, is later used for a phishing scam. How do you then go back and say that that registration itself was not a bad act? I mean, that's where I really have a problem with trying to say, well, you can't take use into account at all, because I just don't think that's realistic. And I think that was relevant in a large part to the domain tasting issues, in the sense that, yes, it was a registration abuse, but it became a registration abuse because the names were dropped only after they were used.
It became a registration abuse because a high volume of the names were blatant typo squats.
Wow.
No, I think it was just because of the volume of the names were tying up resources for registrations that were never meant to, not done in good faith.
And I mean, part of the AGP issue was, I mean, it was creating enormous burdens for certain parties. If you're running a registry, for example, you're required to process all of those registrations in under a certain SLA and store those records and so forth. And that was one issue amongst many. It was also tying up registrar resources, and it was tying up inventory and a whole host of other issues. One of the issues that the Fast Flux Working Group wrestled with was intent. And what you're looking at is you have a domain name and something is going on that domain name. You have to figure out whether it's illegal or not, and whether the party is a bad actor more or less after the fact. Some domains that are running on FastFlux networks actually are not criminal uses at all. They may be benign, or they may actually be part of a highly volatile but legitimate hosting operation. And that group said, look, you have to know how the domain is being used. The use is key. That is the determination of whether or not it's an abusive or criminal problem. And that's what we're mainly concerned about when dealing with criminal use of FastFlux. In my own experience, it's hard to figure out sometimes ahead of time whether the domain has been registered by somebody who has bad intent. How do you do that?
It's hard sometimes, but most of the time it's not hard at all.
Beg your pardon, Mike?
I just think most of the time when you get a complaint, it's pretty obvious that it's a reasonable complaint.
Well, in practice, actually, that is often not the case. Getting into that issue gets into a lot of things I don't want to even try to address on this call. I don't want to take up too much time. But I am skeptical of your statement.
I appreciate that. I mean, it is the first thing that we're tasked to draft around, though. It's basically basically council has said that, or their staff has said, I think this all comes from the staff report, right? This 9.1, 9.2, 9.3, Liz?
Yeah, I think so.
So basically they're saying that they provide the overview, but we haven't analyzed how the provisions are implemented in practice and whether they're deemed effective in addressing abuse.
And it should be noted as well that, this is Marika, that the report doesn't look at those registrars and registries that don't have provisions to see whether how they address abuse, maybe through other means, not specifically abuse provisions, but other provisions in their registration agreement. So it would be interesting to see that as well, because I cannot believe that, like .com, that they don't do anything with complaints they get, for example.
I have I'm embarrassed to ask this, but what exactly, can someone read, does somebody have the language in front of them as to what our mission is?
Yeah, it's me. It says a drafting team be formed to create a proposed charter for a working group to investigate the open issues documented in the issues report, specifically these 3 points. And you want me to read those?
Yeah, if you would. I don't have it in front of me, and I want to make sure that I'm...
It's review and evaluate findings, which I just read. So basically review what the staff has done and consider that it hasn't analyzed how the provisions are implemented in practice and whether they're deemed effective. So presumably the working group ought to do some outreach to registrars and others, well, to everybody, and get their opinions on those 2 points. And the second one is identify specific policy issues. So the council would need to determine whether there are specific policy issues regarding registration abuse. Part of this determination, it would be helpful to define the specific types of abuse of concern, especially distinguishing between registration abuse and other types of abuse if relevant. So that's something the working group would do. Then the third thing is need for further research. Staff would recommend that the council determine where further research may be needed. For example, is lack of uniformity a substantial problem? How effective are the current registration abuse provisions in addressing abuse in practice? And then this was kind of thrown in at the end. I don't know where it came from, but is an initial review or analysis of the UDRP required? And that's basically it.
One of the things we're touching on now is that with respect to 9.2, would be helpful to define the specific types of abuse. I think we're saying it's essential to define the specific types of abuse. So we need to have a better understanding of what we're talking about, what we're researching, and what we plan to measure the efficacy of practices.
The problem is that, and you tell me, James, but my understanding is that any data on this stuff is not going to be categorized between so-called registration abuse and other types of abuse. GoDaddy probably just has it all called abuse, right?
Well, in the absence of a definition, that's true. But if we were to be able to slice abuse down and say, here's where registration abuse ends and here's where other types of abuse begin, then we would be able to provide some data specific to those categories.
Right.
Well, I also think that certain categories are very well understood and possibly even tracked. Cyber squatting, for example, is very different than phishing.
Right.
Yep. Well, if you think that a lot of that registrars generally divide that or are willing to divide it in providing data back to us, that's fine. I just have a feeling we're going to have to take whatever we can get and deal with it ourselves. And I'm not optimistic that we're going to get any data, actually, given my experience in the domain tasting group where we begged for it and got none from registrars.
Well, we could do another RSI, and that way the entire community can participate.
Yep, we could do another one like that.
And, Mike, what I was getting at is that the response we get in terms of the type and the volume of data is probably going to depend on how the question is asked. if it's open-ended or ambiguous, then yeah, we probably have a tougher time providing any sort of substantial response to that.
It's Liz. I just want to offer an additional thought as you think about both research and RFI type, you know, broader discussion and trying to solicit more information. We should think about whether the upcoming meeting in Mexico provides an opportunity for a broader discussion that would be useful. You know, we could set some time aside and make sure that there's a workshop or information gathering session if people think that's useful, because we have the opportunity coming. So I'll just throw that out there too.
I think we should try for that, as well as make sure we're on the council discussion agenda on the first weekend.
But if we could do some work on the definitions maybe in advance, then we could maybe share something about the meeting that would be clearer about what we'd be looking for that might.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd be in favor of all those things. The FastFlux working group experience showed us that if we're not clear about what we're aiming for and don't do a good job of defining what we're looking at, we end up wasting a lot of time.
I do agree with that. You know, I just feel like we're really challenged at the outset to try to distinguish between different types of abuse, because as we discussed in FastFlux group and earlier today, it's just really hard to look at a registration at the time it's registered and know whether it's abusive. You just often don't know until it's used abusively, until it's abused.
Liz, is it possible to require in the charter of a hypothetical PDP working group that they conduct certain types of research, or that they...
Yeah, and that's something that we're looking at in the context of revamping the PDP as part of the GNSO improvements. There is going to be, in the PPSC, you know, there are these two steering committees, and the OSC, the Operations Steering Committee, and the Policy Process Steering Committee. And in the Policy Process Steering Committee, there are two work groups, and one of those is going to look at the PDP, and the board, in its approving the GNSO improvements report, specifically highlighted this issue of data gathering, research, and scoping our definition in advance of launching what we think of as the PDP today for precisely these kinds of reasons. So we could... we have the flexibility of doing what we think is right in this context, either within a PDP or prior to the PDP, and we'll be looking at that more holistically in this other working group. So I'll give my advertisement that we encourage your participation in that working group if you have a particular interest in looking at that from a more holistic perspective. But in this working group, I think, or in this drafting team, in terms of what we recommend, I believe we have flexibility in proposing a sequence that makes sense to us, whatever that is.
Yep, and if the council buys it, then that will be the working group's charter. But, I mean, the council has decided that there will be a working group on this, so it's just our job to figure out what exactly that working group's charter to do.
Yeah, and Mike, what I was trying to avoid was that we would only be allowed to recommend what types of data could be researched, and then the ultimate PDP working group could then decide not to do that. Or
they could, but no, I mean, we're not supposed to, working groups ought not be fighting their charters all the time.
Right, and again, this is FastFlux experience speaking. So.
Yep, I know.
But one thing about, just to... about FastFlux, just briefly, and where it's relevant here, is I think it's helpful to think about the PDP as being, I think, a narrower, once you know kind of what, that everyone's agreed on what the goal is, and everyone's aware of what the options for remedy are, a drill down on which option's best and why. I think, this is my own opinion, and it's in the formative stages. It seems to me that FastFlux suffered a bit because we weren't at the stage where everyone was on the same page about what the goal was, and we were just discussing, and I say just in quotes, the options for remedy. It strikes me that when the PDP process today was created, it was, you know, should we ask or require registrars to do X to solve Y problem? Or, you know, should registrars be required to do A, B, or C in order to solve X problem? And what we're wrestling with now and what we were wrestling with at the outset of the Fast Flux group is, you know, are we all agreed on what the goal is? What are the definitions? We understand there's a topic of concern, but we don't have a specific policy recommendation yet that we're debating. And that's this, the work before a PDP, which could get done in a PDP. I think the semantics here are not as important, is this evolution from, yes, we think there's a problem out there, like what Mike said about the inconsistencies in the language and the lack of uniformity and then how these complaints are handled, but we don't have a detailed sense now of, well, what should the remedy, what are the remedies? We don't even have a sense of where definitionally the lines are drawn. So this preliminary work should focus on that and getting enough definition and enough specificity so that a PDP could then begin to really answer the question of, okay, what ought to be done about this agreed problem?
Yeah, and I think that's right, Liz, because in the absence of that, what happens is that the report that comes out of the PDP looks like a second echoing of the issues report, and there's no solid ground to stand on in terms of any kind of recommendations.
So the thing that I think would get us over the hurdle here is to look at, okay, what are the precatory steps that ought to happen before we're ready to have, you know, the detailed what are we doing about it discussion. And I think we've identified some of those today, right, with trying to definitionally maybe categorize what's included versus excluded and trying to do some research and data gathering around how, you know, the nature of the problem and how it's being handled today.
This is Marika. I think we still need to probably look as well at what the actual problem is. Is it that there are no consistent provisions? Is it the way provisions are handled? Is it that, indeed, the definition of abuse is not well understood? Because I think that's something as well that, you know, we didn't have the time and a means to go in further detail in the issues report there, but that's one of the issues that the group will need to address as well. What is the actual problem? Where does that lie? Is it the, you know, that certain registrars don't have provisions or implementation? Indeed, is there no contact information available where registrants can go? They can actually not file complaints that they have. They're not being timely addressed. So I think those are some issues that need to be looked at as well.
Marika,
there's
about
Greg.
6 or 7 issues right there, Marika, that are all open issues and problems.
And this is Greg. Right now, I mean, just the scope is virtually unlimited. The scope that's currently defined could include, I mean, it could include fast flux, it can include fiber squatting, it could include AGP abuses. The umbrella is so big right now, it would cover anything.
Well, that really is the idea, actually.
And I don't know if
Greg, look at affiliates' abuse of registration policy. Look at GoDaddy's, right? They're very thorough and unlimited, in fact. Any sort
Absolutely not, Mike. That spells out and excludes a lot of things. It does not include any registration issues such as AGP use. It does not include cyber squatting. It does not try to cover all legal issues. It covers a specific set of the main name criminal abuses. That's limited. And that might be, you know, and that's a scope that is spelled out and defined. Right now, we're looking at an undefined infinite scope that takes in actually and covers some previous PDPs as well. We have to figure out what we're really talking about here. I mean, right now it seems to me that we're trying to cover all civil and criminal legal problems that could possibly occur in any relationship to a domain name.
Would you be comfortable just starting with the affiliates list?
Well, that's domain name usage. I don't know whether it's in scope or not. That's a question that's before us.
And I would just say that, not speaking for all registrars or for or even for GoDaddy, but the initial proposals from affiliates were not resoundingly welcome necessarily.
What do you mean by that? By the community or?
By their client registrars. So.
Okay, that's helpful.
Yeah, I'm sorry for being vague there. I'm trying to be nice, but maybe Greg can explain. So I wouldn't necessarily say hold that up and say that this is something that registries and registrars have agreed on. It's something that we support in principle, but, you know, I wouldn't hold that up as a one-size-fits-all model or a definitive list of all the different types of abuse. That's all I need to say, I guess.
And I think that's very logical.
I am a bit concerned, too, about if these things are outside the scope because they involve domain name use, whether that would be in scope for our work.
Well, maybe it just seems to me like we're hammering on this concept that we really need to define what of abuse are in scope and what types of abuse are out of scope. And I guess that would be up to the working group to do as a first step. I don't think that's something that we should do.
Does it make... I guess I have a procedural question, which is...
Mike, couldn't you say that we should that a recommendation coming out of this group would be that a working group be formed in advance? I mean, my suggestion, frankly, is in advance of a PDP to make that determination. I mean, that's something that this charter that you're being asked to develop could say. I think what's a concern here is that it is so broad and so vague that what you want to avoid is you can't launch a PDP on something so broad and so vague. Or so, you know, undefined even that this group is wrestling with. So it seems like a very reasonable precatory step for this group to recommend a charter for a working group or drafting group or however it's.
I don't want to fall into the same trap that was made with respect to domain, which is that, you know, we did all this work in the so-called ad hoc group at the time. And then we came back and we wanted to do something in response to that work, and everyone said, "Oh, we basically got to start over with a PDP, step one." And
but it didn't start over. What it did was take the report. I mean, at least from my perspective, it did in a way what a PDP is supposed to do, which is use, think of the ad hoc report as this research, this preliminary research that we're struggling with now, or you know, answering the questions, whatever the questions are. And then the drafting team subsequently was, okay, based on all of this understanding now, what's the right answer and how should it be imposed? It was a more tactical, specific exploration about, well, what's the remedy? And that to me seems like exactly the right step.
But you will recall that there was a big fight about process that we were successful on, fortunately. But, you know, Chuck Gomes in particular was arguing that basically we were outside of process, we hadn't done anything right, and basically had to start over with the PDP after we'd already done all that work.
Yeah, I wasn't around for that, unfortunately, so that's a bit of history I'm not familiar with. But nonetheless, I think we have the flexibility here to find a process that makes sense, you know, given those experiences, that and Fast Flux, which I think sound like they're both quite relevant, where we have some difficult questions to answer or definitions to make. We know that's not easy and it's going to take time and thought. Our recommendation could be very specific about how to undertake that. Same thing with the research, and we could focus on the nature of the research, the discussion in Mexico should look like. And what should come out of that discussion in Mexico, we could be very specific about that. And we could be specific about following that, launching a PDP based on those conclusions, or regrouping.
And Liz, this is James. I was thinking that if we were to make those types of recommendations for a pre-PDP working group, that was the... the impetus for forming this group.
It might be. This group could morph into that group. Right now, you're being asked to draft a charter for next steps, is how I see it.
Right.
So, you know, it does stand to reason that those interested enough to go through this agony, the fun we're having today, you know, would be committed to going through with the next steps, is that you all, you know, would be committed to the things you're recommending, absolutely. And you could even suggest that in your charter, that this group be, you know, evolve into that with, you know, and welcome additional or however you want to address it. So I actually think we just came up with like four things that we could put in a charter, right? The working on the scope and the definitions. How about recommending that council participate in that? Staff and council. That might be helpful to help think through it. Secondly, the research. Thirdly, the planning for a robust and targeted open session in Mexico, and fourth, evolving this team to a pre-PDP working group.
It sounds like an okay outline to me. I would refer back to when Marika started riffing off a list of problems. I'd like to see those work their way in somehow to the charter as well.
Yeah, those seem to be subcategories of the definition and research.
Yep.
Topic.
And also maybe, you know, the topic for the Mexico. First three.
Well, all right then, Liz. Go to work.
Gotta go, you guys. I'm really busy now. why don't Marika and I take a first stab at writing that up early next week and distributing it to this group for in preparation for another call next Friday?
Sounds to me.
That's good.
Are we missing anything? Anything else? I mean, we came up with that pretty fast.
So there's this one issue about, is an initial review or analysis of the UDRP required? I don't know where that came from. I don't know that that's really part of all of this. I suggest we just leave that out going forward.
I would actually agree, because that is going to be such a gigantic undertaking that the group will never finish.
Okay. Maybe we can water that down to a true-false question of is the UDRP, does it change the definition of registration abuse versus youth abuse? But, yeah, I agree. We don't want a review of the UDRP, but maybe we just need to put some boundaries over how it affects the definition.
And this is Marika. I think this is how that indeed ended up here. It's to see indeed how it relates to the work we're doing and how that relates to UDRP. I don't think it's indeed the objective to have a complete review of that policy, but it's more how two might relate together.
Okay. Well, they clearly are interrelated, but I think the goal of this, at least my goal of this, is to be broader than cyber squatting.
But UDRP isn't limited to cyber squatting, right?
It is, yes.
Well, yeah, back to the matter.
Okay.
Liz, can I make two suggestions, if I may? I think the idea of having a session in Mexico City is fantastic. I would strongly recommend, to the extent that we can avoid it, that it be held during the week, and that at best Sunday afternoon. But I think if we schedule it for Saturday, I think we're really limiting the number of people who will be able to participate just by virtue of who's in transit and who's already there and so on.
Okay, so confirming you think it's better to do it during the week.
I would say definitely not on Saturday. I would be amenable, you know, to being persuaded that Sunday would work, but, you know, I'd be interested in what everyone else thinks as well.
I think we definitely want an open workshop during the week, but we also want some council time on the weekend.
Well, we will have the charter drafted by then, and we will have a vote on that charter if we're targeting our the 16th of February date. And so it does make sense. I mean, at minimum, there will be, Aubrey will put an update on this matter on the council schedule for Saturday or Sunday, and I think it's very reasonable to say, could it please be Sunday, just that update where the council can discuss what you've put forward and whatever they've decided, right, prior to then.
Yeah, I guess right. We will have already had our discussion, you're right. We probably don't
right.
need an
update. So it's going to be in the update mode at minimum, and it's going to be on the calendar, I would say, at minimum, and we could just, you know, ask for it to be on Sunday, but obviously there's a lot of contention for Sunday for exactly the reason you say, Christina, if everybody wants to push things to Sunday.
What would be cool is if we could have an open workshop, but we could also have a working group kickoff meeting.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Or at least take advantage of who's going to be there. I'd like to try to offer, make sure we do it in such a way that we can offer telecom section.
Well, absolutely. Fortunately, Mexico City, the time zones are...
Yeah, time zones are much better.
Yeah, well, for most people, anyway.
Yeah, okay. So, Christina, you had the session in Mexico was a strong yes, and then just doing it, trying to do it not on Saturday. Anything else?
Yeah, I think at one point it wasn't clear to me the context in which we were talking about encouraging council to participate. Are we talking about with regard to the drafting of the charter? Because my point is that there's, you know, obviously the whole point of this GNSO improvements is to move the policy development out of the council. And that to the extent that we can have a much broader, at least in our charter, whatever it is that we're generating here, recognize that, I think we're just going to avoid a whole lot of time spent fighting or hearing tirades about policies that can be done at the council level.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, frankly, hasn't been a lot of interest at the council level on this so far. So I think we should just do our job, get the charter to the council. The council
will
get
legal
the charter.
Counsel.
Okay, all right. Okay,
you all
okay.
were struggling with, you know, what was said in the report and what's meant.
Right.
So
no,
I
you're
was,
right. Absolutely right. Legal
okay.
counsel, I think we need some guidance from them.
Thanks. Marika's reminding me on Jabber. That's, I wasn't sure what you meant. Okay.
I was struggling with that at first as well. And I said, oh, she must mean legal counsel because they need to help with the definition part of it as well, hopefully.
You know, I would just say Dan might have helpful insights. That's... perhaps, you know, we can include him in the discussion.
Well, for what it's worth, I mean, I'm in touch with a lot of people who are actually involved in drafting the UDRP, and I'm happy to ask them if they recall what the reasoning was for kind of going above and beyond registration to include youth in the requirements of proof. I don't know whether that helps us or not. And whether there was any, but more importantly, whether there was any discussion as to whether by including those requirements of use, were they really going beyond the scope of what, of, you know, the scope of ICANN's mission?
I feel like they had that debate back then. It's been resolved now for 8 years.
I'm not asking to open the debate. I just want to know what the reasoning was. Why did they, you know, presumably somebody at some point said, well, why are we including youth? Doesn't that go beyond scope? And they clearly arrived at the decision that they were going to include it. And I just think that to the extent that we are struggling with similar issues, that it may be helpful to look at what they've already done.
Yeah, it might help define, you know, help clarify where the distinction is.
Well, yeah, and that was a long time ago also. I think there's a better appreciation and now of some of the problems. And there are also a lot of new problems that have come up over the last 8 years. I mean, I've also heard that there are people who think that if UDRP had been formulated now, it might happen and be defined very differently. So let's just keep, yeah, I guess keep in mind that a lot has happened since then.
Okay.
Exactly. That's really why we're here today. If the UDRP was effective, there would be a lot less impetus for this initiative.
Okay, so let me just summarize here. We're close to the top of the hour. Marika and I are going to write up the sort of four-point charter proposal. I'm going to let the council know about the February deliverable. I'm going to check with Olga about Fridays, and if that's okay for her. I'll follow up with hoping to get IFP and NCUC participation and maybe ALAC participation as well. And I'll find out about releasing the ALAC, a draft of the ALAC paper to this group. I'm sorry, the FSAC paper to this group. I'll also put in a hold internally on a room for Mexico.
And maybe if we can give some homework to the group to maybe start thinking about what such a workshop could consist of, and you know, if there are any experts that could be useful to participate in this meeting, and maybe that could be something to discuss next week.
And also, I think the parameters of the research that we're envisioning being.
And not just a public workshop, but also a working group kickoff meeting.
And a working group kickoff meeting.
So that is all very one-sided. That's a lot of to-dos for you and none for us other than to review your draft charter early next week.
I think it would be helpful if you all could think about the inputs, the research, the questions Marika rattled off. And I think once she sends we send the draft out of what we just described, if you all could comment on list and maybe do red line, that would be wonderful. That will really move the discussion along for Friday.
And something that might be helpful as well, as many of you are as well active in other groups, if you're aware of any, you know, research that has already been undertaken in this area or that relates to these issues that might be helpful to share, that might be something you might try to find out if there's anything done in other groups related to this matter that might be helpful.
So you're talking about things like the Mark Monitor brand jacking report?
I must say, I'm not really familiar with the report, but if there's useful data that, you know, the issues we're talking about, like, you know, what are the actual problems, you know, do we have any data on, you know, how big of a problem certain things are, you know, those kind of things.
Sure, well, okay. But there's tons of that about phishing and about cyber squatting anyway.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I am going to, when Margie, you all are aware that Margie Milam is starting the 20th or 21st of this month, and she will probably be the staff person assigned to this issue.
So, makes sense.
Yep, good expertise there, though.
Great. All right. Well, that's it for today, then?
Yeah, thank you all so much, and look for our email.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Liz and Marika.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, have
Bye.
A great weekend.
Bye.